Oh, the introduction's so long, and they should have to set it.
It's all right. I like long introductions.
As I was walking down the street one day, a man came up to me and asked me what the time was that was on my watch. Yeah.
Well, we could listen to music all day. I'm a big musicologist, of course. That's Chicago. Does anybody really know what time it is? Well, I'll tell you what time it is. It's 9:14 in the p.m. Toronto Eastern Standard Time on the Thursday, December the 12th, 2024. And where Frank is down.
And I'm going to dispute that, of course. It's 1:15.
Okay.
On Friday the 13th.
All right. And that is the show title. Why 13th for the audience?
Well, it's Friday the 13th here. The
okay. 13th. Why is it 13th? Is that how you perceive the English?
Friday 13th. We need to lose our teeth and give on to typo error, I guess.
All right. As I was saying earlier on the pre-show, and the pre-show is on the audio portion of this, and if you're watching the video portion on FakoTube or on X.com, those are the two places that archive it. If you're on YouTube right now, we do delete these videos because Frank and I do talk about censorious matter.
And we didn't even know.
Well, we do. If you say the word vaccine or COVID, you're going to get squashed, even to this day.
I think it was because I said that Jewish people don't exist.
Okay. Well, that would blow their cover because they need the Jews to exist because they need someone to blame.
Yes.
So if the Jews didn't exist, they would have to invent them, which I think they have.
That's what I think has happened, exactly.
No, I agree with you there. And that's why they protect the Jews, at least they pretend to protect the Jews, because they need a protected class. You need a protected class because you don't want anyone paying attention to who they really are. And Johnny Cerucci, who I really do like, the guy has extreme piles of passion, really good speaker, and he's got names, dates, and places. I really didn't quite understand his thesis back in the day, but I think he's modified it. So he says that, okay, the one thing that the Jews don't have that the Jesuits do is they don't have the infrastructure of the Roman Catholic Church. And that's a hard one to dispute.
Isn't it?
Because I've always said that if you're going to take over a country, you need infrastructure. And if you don't have infrastructure, you just need raw numbers. And the Jews don't have either.
No.
Now, I still think it's very possible that a lot of the Western nations could become Islamic just based on the numbers. Because I don't think you're going to convert all those Muslims, recent and newborn, to become Catholic or secular. Not right away, anyway. So it'll take time.
Mm.
And if you take over a country just by the numbers, well, they got the numbers. Not so much where I live, but it looks like in many parts of Europe, including England.
But, you know, again, I suspect that, you know.
Uki says, hi, Franklin. You're not Franklin, are you?
I'm not, no. I'm actually.
You're Frankfurter.
I'm actually a Frank.
Okay. Well,
you know, like the, I don't know if you watch it, was it the My Daughter's Wedding or something with Martin Short plays a hairdresser or a wedding organizer.
Yes, I didn't watch. I don't watch movies, but yeah, my family tells me all about that. I think it's one of their favorite movies.
Oh, right. So I'm a Frank because I'm named after my Norwegian uncle.
Okay. I derailed you, by the way. And we are taking phone calls, 810-666-1984, 902-400-1984. And I'll turn on Skype. Does anyone use Skype? I tend to think not. I will open up Skype.
I've still got it. It occasionally.
Have you ever used it?
The last time I used it was to speak to you and Marcus Allen, I think. And
well, how did such a popular program just disappear? But
even Zoom is struggling, isn't it? But Zoom boomed.
Well, Zoom was promoted by the powers that be, by those in charge of the PREP Act and all those emergency flooding of the markets acts.
Yep.
But yeah, there was no reason for Zoom to be the program other than it was promoted.
I think it was the only one that was working properly for large scale. You know, you could have a more or less unlimited number of people on your calls, couldn't you?
I have no idea.
For half an hour, that's right. So,
well, that was for the free version, but it always buggered up my system. The few times I used it, many technical things would freeze and occur. I didn't like the way it took over the whole system and made it unstable.
Right.
But yeah, Greg says Father of the Bride. Thank you, Greg Shaws. He's in the Discord. You can call in on Discord, by the way. You can just go into the Fakeologist server at shortfake.com/Discord. I see that the live stream bot seems to have left the building. I'll have to fix that later. But yeah.
Well, I wanted to call this a Friday the 13th show because I have had an epiphany this morning.
Oh no.
You make it sound like that's a bad thing.
Did you do it in the washroom?
I think epiphanies are a good thing. I thought you're a Jesuit in terms of your understanding of language, Tim. Come on.
Okay.
So what happened today was... By the way, I looked almost
everything up now with my new friend. My new best friend is the Google Advanced bot.
Oh.
I'm paying for it for now. Google Advanced Gemini. It's very good. I just talk to my phone now and ask everything under the sun. There's no question that goes unanswered with me now.
Very good. Well, my epiphany.
Yeah.
Was that I realized that for as long as I can remember, I have pretended that I'm not worried about Friday the 13th, but I always have been. And then today.
Yeah.
I have brought in my new worldview that I'm protected by the Heavenly Father.
And Fakeologist. Yeah.
And as a result of that, for the first time I can remember, I have been totally relaxed about Friday the 13th. And moreover,
yeah,
I've had the thought that by now praying on Friday the 13th, I'm going to get rewarded even more by the Heavenly Father for demonstrating his power. And that is, in fact, exactly what happened. So that is my personal testimony and my epiphany. And I'd be interested in the thoughts of other people about these Friday the 13th and their dealing with these superstitions. My wife, of course, just laughs about it. You know, she says she doesn't believe in any of these things.
Me neither.
And
I like your wife.
Yeah, she's pretty smart. So there you go. I just I can only say to you that in my personal experience of Friday the 13th has been greatly improved by my increase in predilection for prayer.
All right. I would like to also say that one of the reasons why we're experiencing the latest psyop of the day is that I think many laws are still being passed to this minute, including the Secretary of Health and Human Services on his last few weeks in office has issued an amendment to the PREP Act, which is the absolute money laundering facilitator of the COVID's psychological military operation. He issued an amendment declaring the extension of the public health service sorry, the Declaration of, I guess, the emergency order. Okay, the declaration for COVID has been extended in the United States until December 31st, 2029.
Wow.
Effective January 1st, 2025. So they added 5 solid years because we're still under an emergency, apparently, in the United States.
Yeah.
And also, I also listened to, I think, a slightly older, and I'm on allshotsclot.com, and I haven't done a show on All Shots Clot, mainly because I'm just too busy, but I'll just do a few words on that blog website now, allshotsclot.com. Also, there was a pretty good Germ Warfare, who I recommend, and the number of miscarriages is up from the average of 4%, which it's always been, to about 30. And a miscarriage is any pregnancy. Yeah, from 4 to 30%. That was at least in 2021. So that's the year of the injection of the vaccine.
Yeah.
And a miscarriage is defined as any pregnancy that ends up until the 20th week. After the 20th week, it's called stillbirth. So halfway into a pregnancy, if it's aborted, it's a miscarriage. In every sense of the word, miscarriage of justice, miscarriage of the fetus. But yeah, this is Kimberly Biss, an OBGYN in Florida. It's a pretty good interview. Germ Warfare does some pretty good stuff. Mm. And if you want to look up on fakeologist.com, you will find I did interview Germ Warfare. He didn't promote it. He didn't even put it on his own website. Why. No, I really don't like lack of reciprocity. Wow. But yeah, if you can find it, I guess I could do a search.
I guess I think that's a bit of a tell, Tim, I must say.
A tell of what?
A tell of not tell being 100% straight.
Let's just ask. Did Germ Warfare interview Fakeologist? Let's see if the bot can find it. See, this is how I don't search anymore. This is how I do my searches. So I use the bots. Let's see here. I can't help with responses on elections and political figures. I sure as hell ain't a political figure.
Maybe you are.
Did Germ Warfare podcast interview. I can't spell the Fakeologist. Okay. Come on. No, it says it's YouTube content. It's not YouTube content. All right. Well, we can just do a quick regular. We'll do a pre-search then. This overpriced bot doesn't want to look. Well, I see my website. I see BitChute. Did I put it on BitChute? I guess I did that. Let's see. Yeah, I put it on BitChute. Okay. Well, he didn't. So there you go.
So there's
the
what do you call it? The cynic in me says there's a bit of a tell.
Mm-hmm. So what's Podimo? Podimo.com. See, a lot of these platforms, they just grab your content, which I'm fine with.
Yep.
And it has grabbed it. This is some Russian place or port, maybe Polish. All right. Hello in the chat to Skate and Destroy, Uki, Greg Shawls, Rocco Calzone, and YVR17. Okay.
I read that as a VVR17.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to get my eyes checked tomorrow.
And his friend Dag Johansson.
Mm-hmm.
And his pet cat Frank Hansen.
Yeah. Phone lines are open, 810-666-1984-902-400-1984. You can also slide into shortfake.com/restream.
So we're having all sorts of things go on with our with Dan Andrews. He's being banned from the circ. So the guy who runs a business called Jim's Mowing, and Jim's all sorts of franchises for lawn mowing and handyman things and everything.
What a clever name.
Oh, this is just an incredible business story, this Jim's Mowing thing.
Uh-huh. All he does is cut lawns?
All he does is set up franchises. And it's not just Jim's Mowing. He has a whole branch of these things that he's set up from there. But anyway, he has publicly stated that Dan Andrews and his family and his immediate family and his, I don't know how many people are affected, cannot get services from the Jim's Mowing franchise after all of the various restaurants around Melbourne have all categorically refused to take any bookings from Daniel Andrews.
Oh, good. He's really getting some blowback all these years later.
He is really getting. Awesome. And it's all been done very publicly, like really very publicly.
Okay, that's great.
So it's quite amusing. And then there is, the state government has turned out to be the most indebted state in the world now. Victoria has now surpassed a huge number of people in the amount of debt for the number of people living here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the new premier has promised to, relax all the restrictions and speed up the permitting of people wanting to search for natural gas. But while at the same time, they're looking for more ways to ban gas appliances in Victoria. They're suggesting now that, first of all, they banned any new gas appliances in any new estates, and now they're saying that anyone who has a faulty gas appliance has to replace it with an electric appliance.
Or else what?
Well, exactly. I wonder.
Yeah. Well, can you buy a gas appliance, or are they just causing the price to go up?
Maybe, yeah. I guess you can buy anything off Alibaba or eBay.
And get it shipped for cheap.
And as we found out, I must admit, I found your approach to our conversation on that the other week a bit off-putting. I thought you were a bit terse, but it was good to see some.
I was more nonplussed by it. I'm aware of a lot of drop shipping services where they make it cheaper because they're bringing the whole country in at once in many ways. So yeah. I am aware of all these services. I was just curious. I just didn't think it was a big deal.
It's a big deal to me, but it's interesting that FACAC was able to provide the actual legislation.
Yeah, that was great.
Wasn't it amazing? So shout out to FACAC. Thank you.
He sent it to me privately, but please, guys, don't send me stuff privately. Just put it in somewhere public. Otherwise, you just make me a forwarding service. I don't like that. And there are many public places to put things. You can comment on the blog, fakeologist.blog, fakeologistforums.com. You can go to the Discord. We have shortfake.com/chat. Please put everything there so everyone can look at it. Because when you email it to me, well, you can also email frank@fakeologist.com. I'm at fakeologist.com. We have Lynn and Phil and Mr. E at fakeologist.com. I've set up emails for forwarding for everybody. That's a regular here.
Yeah. And for Greg Shantz listening, I don't know. I got sent an email by Christine. I won't say her name. She's
a regular in England.
Yep. Yeah. She put me on to a fellow discussing all, world affairs from largely from a view that we all share about things being fake, and I might post it in the chat here about the very things that Greg works on.
All right, that'll be fine.
And about bills exchange and so on.
Okay.
I'll be interested to know if Greg is familiar with this.
All right. And but, I'm read Miles Mathis next. You got nothing.
I found
else?
That very.
Okay, hold on. You're saying this to me?
So I've sent that. So that can go in the that link that's there.
Peter of England.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Be interested to see if you've got comments on that, Greg, either later on today or.
Should we play it a bit?
Why not? Yep.
Hi, everybody. Peter of England. Today, I'm going to cover what I covered two videos ago on the technique that is, I think, exclusive to WearBank, and the suggestion to all of you out there who have bills to pay, whether that is council taxes, state taxes, federal taxes, court fines, traffic offence fines, whether it is HMRC in the UK or IRS in the United States, or whether it is for mortgages when you are in arrears and credit card payments. What I'd like to stress above all else is that many of you who are new to the idea of WearBank may not have watched the videos from 10 years ago, and I can't expect you maybe to have done that, but the entire rationale and ideology of WearBank's function was predicated on not involving itself to promote further consumerism, but in fact just to eradicate or neutralize debt. So that's what WearBank is about, neutralizing debt. So,
okay, we'll put that on hold while we take a call from Diane. Diane, hello. Diane, hello. Turn your radio down, please, Diane. Hello. Diane, hello. Go ahead, Diane. Hello. Frank, maybe you can say hi to Diane.
Hi, Diane. I do love the fact that you had your radio going in the background like a real talkback show. That was great. It was a throwback.
Diane, hello. I don't think she is reached. I don't think we're reaching Diane.
Sigh.
All right. We'll keep talking and maybe she'll say something. Okay. Yeah. So that's interesting. That's for
and talk. Then the other thing that's occurred in the Australian Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Of great interest to me is that a senator has written a letter to the Minister of Science and placed a question in the Parliament, which is astonishing, where he goes through the thermodynamics of how can one electron from one atom, the carbon dioxide atom, be heated sufficiently to heat up 10,000 other molecules of oxygen and nitrogen gas, the main constituents in the atmosphere, to the point where they would raise the temperature 1 degree. What it requires is that one molecule.
We can hear you, Diane. We can hear you. I think you are listening to the stream. Okay, she just hung up.
All right.
The stream is delayed quite a bit. Seems like 10 seconds.
Yeah, so he simply is asking the question, how does a carbon dioxide atom get to 16,000 degrees in order to perform the thermodynamic function they're talking about? It was very interesting. So we're waiting to...
Where was that?
That was in the Australian Parliament.
Oh, that's great. That's a great angle. All chemists should be asking that question based on the atomic model.
Yeah, based on the atomic model. What's the basis? How does that
tiny percentage of the alleged air makeup, how does that small little molecule do its damage?
And obviously, you know, you just think about it, because all of the heat is transferred by motion. So they're basically saying that
it's banging around all those nitrogens like crazy. It's just causing. untold havoc on all the majority molecules in the air.
It's you know, obviously impossible. And there has been no answer. But again, it's a what we should do is get a letter and get everyone that we can to mail their, send a letter to their parliamentarian and their local member and ask them to answer this question.
Because you know what I think will happen, though? Because I think what they do is they use these lies to build these systems up. And then if once the system is in place and the lie is revealed, they just say, well, okay, I guess we were wrong. But now we have this carbon infrastructure all set up.
That's why it's important for people to really put the pressure on now, because apparently Coles, one of the big supermarkets, had been getting people to put this additive into the feed to cut down the cow farts.
Wow.
And there's been such a strong reaction, it looks like Coles are going to pull out. People have been writing to them saying,
that's putting your this supermarket. Untested.
Yeah, you're putting, well, it's there's really two large supermarkets, which I guess dominate 80% of of shopping. So it's, you know, I'm guessing 40%. I may be wrong. It may not be that
in high. Australia.
And they have been getting an absolute whacking over this issue. People are saying, I don't want to buy this meat with this additive in that isn't tested. And, you know, you're all saying it's safe, but, you know, everyone's making allusions to the jabs at the same time. It's really just a lot of enjoyable reaction occurring in Australia at the moment. I think it's almost like it's just been one straw too many for the camel's back. It's coming in so quickly, I think, is the issue.
Okay. Diana, you're on the line now. Can you hear us?
Hi. Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Hi, Diana.
You were listening to the stream, which is quite delayed.
Sorry. I walked away. I walked away from my phone. Sorry,
oh, my gardens.
Okay. And you had real, you know, I don't know if you heard Tim say you'll have to turn your radio off, just like being on the radio in the 1970s.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I walked away. I had to go get something, and I didn't even know I was on. So, yeah, sorry about that.
Okay, go ahead. Do you have a question for the Frankster?
Well, I have a comment. I tried listening to the show with Lynn and Joe Atwell.
Yeah.
And I really, really like Joe Atwell.
Me too.
But I was I had to stop listening because I just was really disappointed in how negative they are about like spirituality and stuff. I had to, I feel like they should both know better at their ages. So I was.
Oh dear. I don't really get into biblical
and
stuff.
I'm having the opposite those guys experience.
I let them go at it.
I've come to the conclusion that we live in an entirely magical world.
What were you saying, Frank? I missed that one.
Sorry.
I said I've come to the conclusion that we live in an entirely magical world. You know, I don't think anything could be more magical than the experience of being alive. We just have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, it is fantastic.
We're alive and we experience things, and you just think, well, what is going on here? How did this all come about? They're just. Is no rational explanation for, I've got no rational explanation for my existence at all. I just find the whole thing astonishing.
Yeah, it is supernatural, that's for sure.
Yeah. And as I keep saying, and as I said about my epiphany about Friday the 13th today, or Friday the 13th, it's the first time ever I've been so relaxed about Friday the 13th.
That's so funny. I was born on the 13th, so I always was wondering. But in Canada, the building that I stayed in, they didn't even have a 13th floor.
Yeah.
They did have a 13th floor, but they skipped it and went right to 14th. Yeah. So it went.
Yeah,
and
that's
so common. It went from 12, yeah.
Yeah, so that whole, I mean, and my, as I said, my epiphany this morning was simply that prayer protects us from any of those things. And so, you know, and I'm guessing that we'll even be rewarded doubly or quadruply as a result of our faith in protection from the Heavenly Father about these things. Now, fear not.
Well, we all have guardian angels, whether you believe you have one or not. You have one. So you can also ask for like their help and support and protection and intervention.
Well, as I said, I assume that that's the mechanism by which the Heavenly Father provides us with our protection. You know, I think, you know, what are they said to do? Pull the stones out from under our feet?
They pull the stones out? Is that what
apparently you mean? The angels pull the stones out from under our feet to prevent us stumbling.
From stubbing our... I didn't know that. Yeah. Is that what it says in the Bible? Some kind of reference?
I would have to... I'll have to... Tim, perhaps you can use that machine of yours to see if I've got the correct...
I thought it's lest you dash your foot against a stone. I thought it was something like that, lest you dash your foot.
I'm actually looking for the Notre Dame Cathedral occult ceremony.
I thought that was very strange.
I wanted to see that. Yeah, I thought that might be somewhat interesting.
Creepy. Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was very creepy.
An occult ritual.
It wasn't. Yeah,
I think that was one of the last buildings that had Antiquitech. That's what I think. I think that was one of the last remaining buildings that had the Antiquitech, like the free energy. And I think they took it down on purpose. That's just my. I have no proof of that.
10 acres.
But I just feel like that's my theory because I think they, for whatever reason, left it there, and then people started to notice things, and then I think they just removed it. The spire, I think, and then when they reopened it, it was some kind of weird occult ritual, not Catholic by any means. I'm just saying, like, by
Catholic. Okay, I was gonna say,
yeah, like I think all those leaders that came, it was more of like some kind of strange occult thing, and I don't think, you know.
I guess Frank dropped off. No,
I did. I got dropped off when I was being facetious about the response time of the French fire brigade.
Oh, we didn't hear any of that.
Oh yeah, it was a slow. I think they burned it down. Frank, did you hear me when I said?
Oh, it was an insurance scam for sure. It's the way they got the state. It's the way they got the state to pay for it. Are you kidding me?
I think it's deeper than that. I think it was the last remaining Antiquitech.
Yes, I did hear you say that, and I agree with you entirely.
And I think that they couldn't let it be there anymore without people noticing. Like, I think they probably were leaving it up either out of respect or reverence or kind of like in your face, like how the Eiffel Tower is. Like, you know, something is right in your face and you don't even know what it is.
But now more and more people are becoming aware of it. So
so they took most of the Antiquitech things down, you know, the free energy with the mercury in it, but I think they left that one up I have no idea why. That's why I think all those leaders came back, because it was like to revel in the success of like destroying something, you know. That's what I think it was. I think it was like way deeper than just, and none of them were Catholic. I know Donald Trump's not Catholic, and half the people there weren't Catholic.
Didn't he go to a Jesuit university though?
But that doesn't make him Catholic.
No, he went to
that's right, because Catholics and Jesuits are not the same. I agree.
He went to the University of Pennsylvania, which is
Fordham.
I guess it's like
he went to Fordham as well.
Did he go to Fordham?
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't think so, but Fordham is a Catholic school, but I went to Catholic colleges. A lot of Catholic schools are no longer really Catholic. Like Notre Dame is more of like a sports school. Like Villanova changed once they won their basketball competitions in like the 70s and 80s. Like, they change. They start out really pure, and then they just get diluted because there's a lot of people that go there that aren't. I would say more than 50% of the people that go to those schools aren't Catholic. And then they hire adjunct professors that aren't Catholic either. So it just waters everything down. So, but the Jesuits, I listened to that other program that you had.
Oh, did you like it?
Man. No.
You didn't like it? Okay, good.
No, I thought his arguments were weak. He had very forceful ways of speaking, but when he came to the facts, he didn't seem very knowledgeable, like with real facts about the Jesuits and how to prove that they are actually so. Because I don't know if he's ever even met Jesuits. Like, he said he was Catholic. People always say that. And then if I know them and I ask more details, I found out that they were just cultural Catholics. And for whatever reason, they chose not to, you know, really pay attention or listen. Or there's always like deeper meanings whenever you hear that about people, or they'll say things like, well, the Bible's not read in mass, when that's not true. It's read four times. And so when you question them, they don't really know. They just think, they just say it with such force that you get the impression that they're knowledgeable. But I didn't think his reasons for the Jesuits were strong at all. And I don't even think he knows the Catholic faith very much, but the Jesuits are just different. Like, I'm not saying they're not corrupt, and I'm, because they have the vow to follow the instructions of the Pope regardless of obedience. So those instructions could be good or bad, I guess, but they at my school, and they're just very liberal. They're a very liberal group. They're like an order. There's many, many orders. There's so many orders. There's diocesan priests. There's like monks. There's just all kinds of, and they all have their own philosophies. And the Jesuits are just extremely liberal. That's why.
Do you think the Catholic Church has the largest infrastructure in the world for education, religion, or one of the biggest?
It does have, and people, like, even I hear Rick say, you know, how he's not religious, but yet he sends his kids to Catholic school. Like, it's so, like, the hypocrisy is so funny in this world, because you'll hear so much hate towards Catholics, and yet they'll still acknowledge that there's something good, they have something good to offer. So, yeah, they do have good education. They're very strong on respectful environments for kids, like respect for each other. And in elementary school, like, the kids will pray a couple times a day, which I think little kids really do need that, especially in this world time, to, you know, it helps their minds and hearts. And so they'll pray in the morning, they'll have like an afternoon break, they'll pray before they eat lunch, they'll pray. And then they have chapel partners where they'll go with like older kids and sit next to an older kid. So the kid will just sort of model good behavior in mass in the church. So it has a lot of good basics that kids don't get anymore in public school, like, you know, respecting the authority.
And I think it's fair to say that these, Catholic-trained people are certainly dominating in Australia at the moment. You know, the successful politicians, etc., in our country.
They might not even be Catholic. They might have just gone to Catholic.
Frank, you're saying it's not the Jews?
Well, as I keep saying to you, Tim, I am very doubtful that they are Jews.
Okay.
I think it's just a group of families. Like, I don't think it's the Jesuits. I think there's evil people everywhere. And I know there's like a gay mafia in the Vatican. There's like a lot of homosexuality. And so, but I think there's evil stuff everywhere. But I think it's a group of families that are ahead of all this, above the Catholic Church, that influence, you know, that corrupt.
You know, the Pope is making all sorts of very strange policies, and, you know, the current Pope is definitely promoting things which I think are counter to my well-being, counterproductive to my well-being.
Well, I do think that there's good and bad popes, and I do think this one is a bit questionable. But when it trickles down, like, the Pope, I think he said stuff about the vax. I think he said something like, it's okay to get, I don't know. I think he was saying that it's okay to get vax. I can't remember exactly, but in the day-to-day places, they don't say that. And like I've said on the show before, no priest wore a mask in church when I went. I didn't wear a mask. I did wear one walking in and then leaving out of respect for other people when it's crowded and you're walking out. But I didn't wear one in the mass itself. And I went with my friend. He didn't wear one either. No one said anything to us. They did do the every other pew. Like, they blocked off every other pew. This is at the height of it, and then things settled down. But a lot of the my church hasn't gone back to the wine yet, where you share the wine from the cup. But I have a friend that just became a priest, and his church has been doing it for now 2 years, where you'll be, you know, one chalice, and then you go up there, and then they just wipe it with a cloth, and then the next person goes, and then they wipe it. Where some places have, some places will have like mini Dixie cups, and they'll pour it in. But all the churches that I've gone to don't do that. They have like a chalice where it's shared by whoever's in there, and then it just gets wiped off.
Is it the chalice with the palace, or the pestle with the vessel?
It's the chalice for the wine, for the blood. But they do that now. Like, so they're back to, they've been doing that for 2 years. So you don't have to be Catholic. I'm not promoting it. I'm just saying it gets a lot of bad press. But all right. In reality, it's not that bad. And it does have a good education system.
Yeah,
and
we agree.
And it's expensive. Like, the universities are expensive, and
well, all universities are super expensive there. So,
yeah, but I think there's just evil stuff everywhere, and of course, the devil would want to infiltrate churches. I mean, he's not going to bother with the people that he already has on his team. Like, the people that don't believe in these things, they're already on his team, so he's not going to give them a hard time in life. And they always say, when people convert to Christianity, whatever denomination you are, that you'll get attacked by the devil. Like, I've seen like Baptist shows saying, once you accept God, be careful, because all these bad things might start happening to you, and then you're gonna be disappointed, and you might lose your faith. But don't do it. Like, they warn you that you'll get like spiritual, you know, warfare will start to come against you, because, you know, little things. It could be little things, or it could be like something bad, but to discourage you, to steal your faith, and to steal, you know, because it's a battle for your soul.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Diana. Appreciate that.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for calling in, Diana.
Always good to hear from you. See you on the audio chat.
Yes. Bye, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye. There goes Diana. She's on the audio chat quite a bit at shortfake.com/discord. Our audio chat is a week.
And if anyone else is going to call in, Tim is going to tell you to turn your radio off before you do. But I think, for the sake of nostalgia, you should have your radio playing in the background so that we can make a bit of a fuss about it.
Well, she's on shortfake.com/stream1. Shortfake.com/stream1. That is our audio server, our own. We have someone in California, someone in Sweden, someone in Colorado, someone in South Carolina, someone in Stratford, someone in Colorado, as I said, someone in London, somebody in the United States, doesn't say where, someone in Michigan. So thanks, everyone, for listening in on the audio chat. And we have people on the FakoTube as well, FakoTube.com. That's our platform. And, of course, we also have people on X.com. DLive and the YouTubes. And we also have Kate Emma, who's laying in bed with her husband, listening late over there in England, chatting away with Skate and Destroy. What else we got, Frank? Do you want to read Mr. Mathis on this whole...
Yeah, sure. But before we do, I just note that apparently Elon Musk has now become the wealthiest man in all history, as a result of the re-election of President Trump.
What happened to the other guy that owns Amazon, which is a real company? Now, I can't say he's a real person that owns Amazon, but
what is happened? Amazon, is Amazon actually making money? I don't know.
I would say they're making tons of money, but not necessarily by delivering packages.
Very good.
Well, they have many businesses, including cloud computing, which is pretty big.
We spoke about that the other day. That's right. Yeah.
They have other businesses. I'm sure they own Whole Foods. That's a grocery store over here. I don't know if it's making money, but yeah, it's as if everyone else has just been surpassed by this autistic puppet who doesn't, there's no way he has enough time to do any of the things that they pretend he does.
It's just crazy. It's the craziest story of all time. And yet they fall for it. As Jim Carrey,
I think Elon should have been man of the year. They made Trump man of the year at Time magazine.
Yeah,
I think Elon has definitely been in the news just as much as Trump.
And I think he definitely is the man of the year. I agree with you.
Well, I just thought of it. It looks like Greg Schultz is on the Discord. Greg Schultz, hello.
Hey.
Hi, Greg.
Welcome to the show, Greg. Uh-oh. Greg and his spotty audio is on the show.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, I'm just trying to...
Greg Sean's on the Discord. You can always call in on the Discord.
Yeah, it sounded like you wanted somebody to call in on your Discord, so I...
Well, it's better than the phone line, usually, in terms of audio quality. It uses a few more...
This is a call-in show, Greg.
Yeah, you can call it any which way you want. We'll take all calls.
We're not proud. Yeah. I'm not proud, anyway.
It's just that you got the worst connection ever on your phone, so we always deal with the with that. But go ahead.
Well, I switched to the smartphone microphone, so I think there should be good audio.
It's better. It is better. Yep.
Yeah, it's not bad. What do you got for us tonight?
On Twitter, Randy Hillier just posted the Crown is appealing the case against him that was stayed.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that. It's hard to follow all these characters, you know, they're just never ending.
So I'm not quite up with that story, Greg. Do you mind explaining a bit more?
So Randy Hillier, he was a member of provincial parliament in Canada, or in Ontario, rather. And then he was in Ottawa during the protests there, the truckers' protests, and he got charged with mischief for, like, moving some fence. So the Crown, I guess, Regina, Regis, the king, brought charges against him, and it took 34 months and nothing had happened. So it was too long and the charges were stayed, which means it's done. So now the Crown is appealing that decision and they're going to bring the charges against them again.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Well, here you go. Etienne Lacombe.
Yeah, he found the guy. Yeah.
This is the little prick that has appealed my state charges. Yeah.
So and is there a precedent in law for them being able to do that?
I'm not sure. Probably. Yeah, they probably think that, you know, they're going to succeed in getting him ultimately getting him.
This is called lawfare.
Yeah. So he thinks it's some kind of conspiracy against him, or they're just really trying to, you know, rub them out.
Well, you can understand why, surely.
But I said to him that it's commerce. Like every case that's in the court system is monetized.
What did he say?
He liked that comment that I made.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely appears to be a real freedom fighter. I do like him. But man, it sure does take all your time. Poor guy.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a warrior.
Yeah, he's always been like, I guess, kind of a rabble rouser.
Yes.
Even before he was in politics, he had something called the Lanark Landowners Association.
Well, he was really protesting against just government encroachment on private property, as far as I know.
Yeah, I think that's what it was about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what was this video you were playing, Frank? Or
so I placed it. Yeah. So there is a Peter of England has for 10 years been running the bills of exchange documentation, and in 10 years they've had no refusals. I think I'd be interested in your comments if you get the chance to look at it. We posted in the chat here, or Tim played it. What I might do is I'll also put it in your PM.
Yeah, I put it in the show notes. And by the way, Randy Hillier also has a pretty good show on that our parliaments are courts. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes, I have heard of it. That's do you really think it's true?
Well, he made a case that seemed compelling.
Yeah. I'd be interested in that link too then. I've heard the story.
You got to go to his, what do you call it? His ex profile. I'll put it there.
Okay.
He has a show now. It's called The User's Guide to Canada.
Yeah. All that's on his ex profile. I'll link to it in the show notes. Randy Hillier, if you're Canadian, he's pretty interesting and he does a pretty good broadcast. I do subscribe to him on Odyssey. So you can get his stuff automatically on Odyssey. Should we talk a little bit about this healthcare phony story before we wrap it up? Get some Fakeology on here.
Yeah, I thought you were going to come on Monday night and talk about that, but there was nothing.
No, I'm really busy right now with my schedule, so it's really hard to get in the studio on time. So, and then sometimes I'm just too tired. So it's just the way things have worked out. So. Every show's a bonus right now, just letting you know.
Okay.
But I will talk about it. You know, I'll do my best, but I'll also point to the people that are talking about it. And IPS is definitely a person I would spend time talking about, listening to it. I'd almost rather have him on the show just to get him debriefed because he's exhaustive in his study of these auto hoax events.
Has he tied it into any ancient mythologies or anything like this?
I don't know. I'm behind on his stuff too. I don't think so. He's more of this Miles Mathis way of looking at things. And this is another fake story, but I don't even know if this guy exists. He's a strange looking person to say the least. He's just strange. Everything is there. Even if you don't believe any part of the story, just who this guy is and his backstory. And it's just the whole crime is just not evolving as a real crime would because they promote it so quickly. They've released evidence. None of this would happen in the real
world. None of this happened if it was real. No. Yeah. And that's, again, my very good friend Ed Sheerini always pointed out, you know, if these stories were real, they wouldn't be, as you say, poisoning the well for the jury to give all of this stuff.
Yeah, the jury's not allowed to know any of this because they're supposed to make an impartial judgment based on it being brought before them. They can't come to a jury with preconceived notions.
And it's saturated, so you know it'd be virtually impossible to select a jury that hasn't been saturated with it.
If this was a real film, it would not be aired in public. We're talking about the shooting footage. It would be considered a snuff film, and as far as I know, they don't release snuff films, especially when they're used as evidence. So that's number one.
Yep.
And then the second clue he says is, no CEO getting paid $10 million a year would be walking around without security.
$10 million a year, US.
Well, of course. It's not Australian dollars. It says here, Tony Fauci and Albert Bourla are both known to have very heavy security. Someone said today, maybe IPS or somebody, that one of the reasons... one of the many things that will come out of this fake event, real laws, real things, is maybe the government will give them secret service, taxpayer-funded security after this. Because most of these guys make all their money off the government because they're the private contractors for the public money.
Yeah.
So mass amounts of Federal Reserve notes fund these companies to administer Medicare and Medicaid.
Yes.
And anyone that doesn't think that the United States doesn't have public health care is sadly mistaken. There is a small there's a small percentage of the U.S. citizenry that can't afford health care because they're in between. They're the working poor. They may be the one group that doesn't have health care because they're not sick. They're not disabled. They're not old. But they don't work for an employer that provides employer-based private health care. So they're just basically the working poor, especially the ones that work for cash. They wouldn't have health care. Mm-hmm. Now, they would still get treated if they wandered into a hospital. But for chronic care, perhaps maybe they would be in trouble paying for medicine. Anyway.
Skate and Destroy made the comment. Weird how that was the only photo you could find of the guy on the entire internet.
Well, they also said it was scrubbed.
Yeah.
Miles
they tried to explain that away by saying they are scrubbing the web to protect the CEOs. Protect them from what?
From guys like this, hunting them down in the streets.
Yeah.
The third clue is the film looks fake. The guy playing Thompson is a bad actor and his reactions are comical. Plus notice that the SUV right there hits its brake lights and leaves them on right as the film starts. What does that mean? And action. He says that's a clue. The fourth clue is that isn't it convenient that this murder just happens to take place right beneath a street camera aimed directly at the scene with our boy's center of frame, front and center, but from the back so we can't identify Thompson. And the camera's moving indicated it is handheld, not a street camera. That's true. The fifth clue is the photos released the next day of the shooter. No way would they have multiple photos of this guy with his mask down and smiling. What's the point of a hoodie and mask if you are going to walk around posing for the cameras with them off? The sixth clue is the cutesy messages on the shell casings. Deny, defend, depose. Just stinks of Langley, Virginia, doesn't it?
It's absurd.
These effing script monkeys don't know when to stop. The seventh clue is ex-New York Times crazy cunt Taylor Lorenz coming down on the side of revolutionaries here, saying Thompson had it coming. And this sounds a lot like the Joker movie. Did you watch the Joker movie, you guys?
Yeah.
I saw the first one.
Yeah, me too. And then I found it pretty dystopic and disturbing.
Yeah, I couldn't. I only watched the first one.
It was, I'm talking about the first one. It was just not a feel-good movie in any way.
No.
But it seemed to be, I thought it was sort of conditioning for what they wanted to happen, where just this vigilante eat the rich. And
yep.
I think that is something.
Also, there's also that conditioning of, there's a lot of vigilante movies where, you know, people take the law into their own hands and, you know, there's police executing people without trial by jury and so on. And that kind of nonsense is obviously not going to be good for me in the long run. If they're passing laws that, or, you know, allowing action to be taken without any criminal trial, any trial by jury at all. I mean, that's the fundamental aspect of our lives, of our legal system.
Were you talking about jury nullification as well?
Well, this is where a jury can actually set aside laws that they don't think are reasonable. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Did we? Who did I talk about that with?
Tina was talking
about it. Oh, Tina did. Tina. Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Greg. Greg listens to the show intently. Yeah, she was saying that's a very important rule or function of a jury.
Yes.
That's very important. I'd never heard of it.
Yeah, it's...
Well, I heard the word, but I didn't know what it meant.
Yep. And so any if the jury's at a trial and, you know, they can say, yeah, the guy may have committed the offense, but the offense you've accused him of, we're going to strike that down because that's a non-offense.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Let me just type it in here. Jury nullification is when a jury in a criminal trial returns a verdict of not guilty despite believing that the defendant is guilty of the crime as charged. This happens because jurors have the power to disregard the judge's instructions on the law and instead vote their conscience. Wonderful. Why would a jury do this? Disagreement with the law. Jurors may believe the law itself is unjust or that it shouldn't apply in this specific circumstances. Disproportionate punishment. They may feel the potential punishment is too harsh for the crime committed. Sympathy for the defendant. Jurors may sympathize with the defendant's motives or believe they were justified in their actions. That's pretty cool. That's a huge power, isn't it?
Yeah. And I don't think many jurors are informed that they have that power.
No, why would they be?
Yeah, exactly.
In essence, jury nullification highlights the tension between the letter of the law and the sense of justice held by individual jurors. It's a reminder that the legal system is ultimately a human one, capable of both upholding and challenging societal norms. Looks like we got a caller in her here. Okay. I don't know if you can hear. You'll be able to hear
Hold
this guy.
29 Oh, you will seconds. Be.
Yep. John the Beggar, hello.
Hi, guys. How you doing? John the Beggar from the South Shore of the St. Lawrence Seaway.
Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing? The Fully Informed Jury Association, I haven't looked at them in a few years, but they were a group of people trying, and even lawyers, trying to tell people about the right of jury nullification. And in the state of Indiana, that's even explained to the jurors that they have a right to nullify the law.
Is it? Wow.
Yeah. But look up the Fully Informed Jury Association. I think they're still around. And they talk about jury nullification. And we had that in the state of Michigan, where Alvarado's mom came from.
Yeah.
During the pre-Civil War era, sheriffs would not help people that were trying to seek out runaway slaves, and they get charged with a law, federal law, saying you had to help, and the juries would just acquit them.
Awesome.
And it's been around for a long time. I believe it's in English common law too.
Yes, it is. That's where I heard it from. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Sorry, what's it called, John the Beggar? What's
the Fully Informed Jury Association?
Fully Informed Jury Association of Michigan?
No, it's a national group. That was the last time, and I'm thinking back. It may be closer to 10 years that I've ever checked them out. I know I found out about them from some libertarians.
The Fully Informed Jury Association, FIJA, is a U.S.-based organization advocating for the concept of jury nullification. They believe jurors should be fully aware of their power to judge both the law and the facts in a case, including the option to acquit a defendant even if they believe they technically broke the law. That's cool.
That's them. That's them, and it's a good thing. And I think a former judge from Indiana at one time held the leadership position in that organization.
Well, it's interesting that what I got from what Tim read out there is that it sounds as if that jury's ability is not being widely promoted as we speak.
No, only the state of Indiana, I believe, does that.
Yeah.
Well, that's great, John. How's everything else down there on the South Shore?
Oh, it's the same old, same old. It's kind of cold now. I think they've geo-engineered our weather.
Well, it could also be winter, John. There's that.
That's true. That is true.
Okay.
Also, but I think it's a little interference.
Okay. Well, I wish they'd interfere.
The opinions expressed by the host of this show are not necessarily shared by all his guests, John.
I believe that's true.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, and I do love salt, Frank. I'm a salt addict. I have been since I was a little kid. I don't have any heart or cardiovascular issues, and I've always eaten and loved salt. And if I didn't take extra salt tablets when I was a young man, especially an athlete, I would get terrible muscle cramps.
Oh, so when you and I were young men, salt tablets were the thing, where that was a thing.
Yes, they were. I loved taking them. And then even then I would salt my food, and I still do to this day. Yeah. And my clothes, when they get washed, some people will say they're salty. They almost smell of the sea and the salt of the earth. And I think that stuff helps keep cancers down, even though the fact I do have a tumor, but it's non-cancerous.
Yeah.
And I think the salt really helps you.
Well, my view of that is that by having plenty of salt, I mean, this is not medical advice, but we allow our bodies to create the sodium bicarbonate ion, or the sodium bicarbonate ion that maintains the alkaline internal fluids of your body. Mm-hmm. And that's that alkalinity of your bodily fluids, 7.4 to 7.45, that's really when you're in the sweet zone for maintaining, you know, health for all things, including parasite control, bacteria control, everything.
Well, I know my legs, when I sweat, when I was a young man, I had shorts on, were so salty, even dogs that owners had trained not to lick a person's leg, they
would do that.
My leg, and you could see them drooling. They just wanted to. And they'd say, go ahead.
And that happens to me now, by the way.
Really? Does that happen when you're on a farm? Yeah. Do the cows come up to you?
I don't know about that. Oh, but you've heard the story about some guy camping out in the bush in Alaska, and people told him not to pee outside, but he couldn't help resist it.
Yeah.
He went outside for a pee, and he almost got run over by a herd of reindeer.
All right. Couldn't wait to lick his salt.
They stampeded to grab the salt.
This. Nice.
Well, I know salt licks always attract lots of animals. They go to the salt licks.
It was one of the biggest markets for when I was selling salt for Australia's largest salt seller, salt producer.
And my wife has a salt tip. She said that she watched a cooking show, and you're not supposed to put the sea salt while you're cooking. You put it on after, because otherwise it just loses
it's saving, you think, which is interesting, because I've always heard the opposite to that. You should put the food on while you're cooking.
I do both. I salt during and after.
Yeah. Well, perhaps the cooking breaks it down and it's not as effective. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Salt has always tasted good to me.
Frank, you're a crystallologist. Like, maybe the crystal breaks down when you cook it and it's not as potent.
Well, I think I prefer to season.
To taste?
Look, I season to taste, but I also season I'll season. Certainly for steaks, I cover the steak in flake salt on both sides and cook it. Probably what I think happens is that you need more salt when you cook that way.
Yeah.
So that would be true. Yeah.
John, what do you think of the healthcare executive murder?
Well, I think that was staged.
Okay.
The whole thing. I think the young man that killed him is John Hinckley 2, the movie.
Okay. Anything with his name? Mangione? We'll be playing.
Well, I think of Chuck Mangione, the great.
We'll be playing that. Player. We'll be playing that on the way out. Don't worry.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Pardon?
The good,
the bad, and the ugly. The good, the bad, and the ugly, and the.
No, his hit was Feel So Good.
Fistful of Dollars and.
Feel So Good, and he wrote the national anthem, I think, for Liechtenstein, because the Baron of Liechtenstein was at the Olympics once, and he was there, and he wanted to meet him. He'd heard his music, and I know he was supposed to be writing a national anthem to be played for Liechtenstein.
Chuck Mangione. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I'll have to hear that. I don't suppose you can play that as our closing music, could you, Tim?
No, I was going to play their greatest hit, Chuck Mangione.
Oh, yeah. Play the greatest hit.
That's oh, I think the national anthem of Liechtenstein would be much better.
Well, I don't know that he ever did it. I remember it was reported. It was on ABC's Wide World of Sports during the Olympics, and they had him on, and he had met the prince, the Baron of Liechtenstein, and he was supposed to do that. And what was that guy? Jim McKay was introducing him.
Yeah, Jim McKay.
It was a long time ago. But that's all I know. I don't know if he ever ultimately did it. And I
here it is. No question shall go unanswered, as we've said many, many times here on the Fakeologist Show. A Google Gemini Advance says, this is a fun question that plays on a common misunderstanding. Chuck Mangione is a famous flugelhorn player known for his catchy jazz pop hit Feels So Good. While his music has been used in various settings, including sporting events, he did not write the national anthem of Liechtenstein. The actual national anthem of Liechtenstein is called Oben am Ugen Rhein, High on the Young Rhine. It uses the same melody as God Save the Queen, the national anthem of the United Kingdom. The confusion might stem from the fact that Mangione's music is sometimes associated with patriotic events or used in celebratory way. In a celebratory way, leading some to jokingly connect him to national anthems. So while we can appreciate the musical talent of Chuck Mangione, the credit for Liechtenstein's anthem goes to its actual composers, whoever they are, which I don't know. So there you go.
I just remember the event. I remember him being on there, and there was a skier, I guess, he had met from Liechtenstein. And he said he had introduced him to the Baron, and the Baron wanted him to write.
Sounds like a hoax, John. Sounds like a
hoax. Wide World of Sports, and I was a young kid, and I remember seeing
more lying on the news.
Yep, they lied about Munich too.
It's a pity because it's a great story, I must say.
Yes, it is, but everything seems to be just a nothing but a story when you look at it real closely.
Yeah.
A lie.
A lie is another way of putting it, a more forthright way of putting it.
It's fiction. Fiction, is it?
That's right.
Fiction, yes.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up because it's time.
You've got to go to bed.
Some of us were out in the cold today, -5 with the wind blowing. So apparently that's engineered from somewhere in Michigan, but it affects us because we're just east of Michigan here. In Ontario
Air Force Base.
Yeah, so they're blowing very cold there. And
Selfridge is right by your mom's hometown.
All right, but it was a northwest wind, so it came over Lake Huron and Georgian Bay, so I don't think it wasn't due west, it was northwest. So you're going to have to they must have big blower motors up north.
Oh my. I hate to
tell you, I just don't think man is as great as nature. He just doesn't hold a candle to Mother Nature. She is just unbelievable. And I don't think she's really bothered by anyone trying to piss in the wind. So that's why I don't buy it.
Okay. Well, hey, I just wanted to call in.
Thank you.
Listening to you guys, and it's good to talk to Frank and to you, Fakeologist.
Thank you, John. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
And Greg, anything before you hang up? I had to turn you down a bit because you're making a lot of noise
I was paging through some books. I was looking in the legal dictionary to see if there was anything about jury nullification, but I didn't find anything about it.
Oh, all right. Will you be on the audio chat on the weekend?
Who knows? We'll see.
All right. Well, thanks for discording in.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
All right. See you, Greg.
I'll post that link for you to Peter.
And Frank, anything else before we...
No, I appreciate the opportunity once again, Tim.
All right. Well, thanks for the conversation. It was good. I appreciate you coming on. And I've been really lazy. It's just so much easier to have guests that like to talk as well. Because I just find it easier to have one person on. So Guess what? I've invited Johnny Cerucci back on Sunday at 1 o'clock only because he prefers that time slot. I'm not nuts about it, but I like to accommodate the guests. So we're going to bring Lynn Ertel together with Johnny because they both have a really great mind for people, places, and dates. So I thought that would be really cool if they got together. What do you think, Frank? Is that a good
100%
idea?
It'd be something to look forward to.
Yeah, I like Johnny. And when he fleshed out his idea that it's the Jesuit plugged into the Roman Catholic infrastructure, it's starting to make a little more sense to me how
it
they
makes, can... It makes complete sense to me, yep.
Yeah, and they run militaries all around the world.
Yeah. And all the observatories. And all the schools.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really clear that
by the way, they're excellent teachers. My chemistry teacher at high school was an ex-Jesuit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really clear. If you want to shape society, you have to shape the children.
Yeah.
All of them. So, yeah, I think he's right. I think he's right. I've always thought that the Jews did it. It was just too easy. It was ridiculously easy and handed to us. And it's actually annoying how obvious it is. So, looks like I forgot to change the caption of the caller in, or that was John the Beggar, and we had Greg Shawn's on earlier. And Diana, thank you for calling in. All right, Frank, we'll see you maybe on the audio chats.
Au revoir.
Thank you very much. And we're going to play out with Feels So Good, Chuck Mangione, which is the namesake of the phony baloney killer of the United Health executive in New York City, which has been the distraction of the week, and I suppose it's going to go on for at least another couple weeks while they continue to pass laws to take away your freedoms and bring you closer into the slave security state. Don't forget, this broadcast is value for value. You pay whatever the show is worth to you. Fakeologist.com/donate. You think it's worth a buck, you can pay that. And we have one guy who's sending $1.19 a couple times a week. Really appreciate you. All the way up to another guy who sent in $62 to help pay for FakoTube. FakoTube.com is our video platform. That's where you're going to find this video. And that is because we delete YouTube videos because they delete us. We try and delete ourselves first. And also you support all the other aspects, the forums, the website, the blog, you name it. And don't forget to come onto the Discord this weekend. There'll be many people besides me there to talk to you. shortfake.com/Discord. Come on out and have a chat. We won't bite and we're a lot of fun. And you can even be drunk. All right, guys, take care. We'll see you Sunday with Johnny Cerucci and Lynn Ertel. That should be fun. We're going to talk about what Johnny specializes in, the Jesuit military order. Take care.